Another new week. You are listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. Today is Wednesday. Sometime in the beginning of December, I've lost all sense of time. But this is Press Start, your weekly look at games and the video game industry, as brought to you locally and live from the Cal Poly Studios by me. My name is Justin. And my partner Dave Hampton will be here shortly to catch us up on the week. We've got a pretty good show today. We've got a lot of reviews of various things, including, as was promised last week, the Sandio Technology Gamo 3D Mouse, a mouse that lets you play pretty much one-handed PC games. So when Dave gets here, he's going to have that for us. He's been messing with it all week, trying to figure the ins and outs. And in fact, I witnessed firsthand the complexity involved in sort of mapping that thing. It's a very cool product, and we will get to it, and we'll see all the different advantages and disadvantages that it may have in gaming. Also today, a review of Yggdra Union, which probably not many of you have heard of. It's a Game Boy Advance title. Came out, oh, I would say 2 weeks ago. And is a strategy RPG by the same people who did Riviera, The Promised Land, which you may also not have heard of. In any case, very cool game, very cool art style, and I will get into that a little later on. Don't forget to check out the website if you want to subscribe to the podcast or leave comments on the show. And of course, constructive criticism is always welcomed. That URL is pressstart.thefighting.org. Pressstart.thefighting.org. It's everything you need is there. And it's updated every week with the latest show right after we get done broadcasting. And the email address, if you want to send an email to me or Dave during the show, after the show, or before the show, whatever you want, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. That's the address. And of course, the inbox is always open. So don't be shy. Love it when we get listener feedback, because then we can get controversial. So that's all there for you. I've also got news and music, of course, today. And some interesting stories this week, including numbers for how well the Wii sold. And because it did get released in the United States first, and in Japan, it was released on December 1st. So the Japanese have been waiting for it, and there are some big numbers coming out of Japan about the Nintendo Wii. And in addition to that, there's some info on how you can get involved for the Halo 3 beta testing, which means you'd get to play the game before anyone else, as well as plenty of other good stuff. So stick around for all of that. I will be here till 11 o'clock this morning discussing all things gaming related. Any questions you have, any comments, recommendations, of course, once again, email the show, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. So, until Dave gets here, let's play some music, and when we come back, the show will officially start. But in the meantime, here is a what do I want to play? Let's go with a Super Mario 64 remix called Fleeting Ecstasy, and we will return. We'll be right back. Once again, you are listening to Press Start on KCPR, San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. And Dave, you've taken the liberty of coming to join us.
I finally got here.
Excellent. And
I don't know whose idea it was to have class right before the show.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Unbelievable. The nerve, the gall of some people.
Good class, but, you know, still.
Yeah.
Terrible time slot.
Well, you're here now, and that's the most important thing, and I see you've come prepared because you've been plugging away at this whole 3D mouse thing.
I have. I spent actually more time than I should have last night playing with it.
Were you? Well, before we get into the whole review and everything like that, I'd like to get to the news and do all that stuff. But
oh, yeah.
this will be a good review. In a nutshell, how would you tantalize people to keep listening for the mouse review?
How would I tantalize people?
I'm
not good at tantalizing. It doesn't work the way you might think it would work if you've been reading their press releases. I'll tell you that. So if you want to hear a bit more, hang around.
Okay. And we'll get to that, of course. But first, we've got some interesting news bits for everyone out there. The first of these news bits is a couple of new releases coming for the Wii and the PS3. For the Wii, a new SSX game, which is that snowboarding game series that you may have heard about. New one's coming out for the Wii. It's called SSX Blur. And it's going to have motion sensing controller for playing and whatnot. So that should be pretty interesting.
For all those Uber tricks or whatever they have, where the characters pick up their snowboards and start waving around their heads.
Yeah, well,
the Wii controller just makes them up now, I bet.
You have to like wave it and like spell the alphabet, and you can do one at
a time. Spell the name of the trick with the Wiimote.
They're always really hard to pull off to me when I played SSX. So that's coming to the Wii. No official date yet. And then for the PS3, Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection is coming to the PS3 online store.
Really?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's why they didn't put it on the PS2.
Exactly.
Of course, nobody's going to be playing Tekken by the time that comes out. I mean, Dark Resurrection was big in arcades, for those people who still go to arcades, but it only came out on the PSP. All the fighting game people said, all right, well, I guess that's the end of that. They all moved on to Soul Calibur.
Well, tell them they can return, because Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection is coming to the PS3's download service. No actual dates yet, but if you like Tekken, and you own a PS3, you know.
If you like Tekken, it really is the best Tekken game, I think.
Yes, that's what I hear. I've seen it in action, but I never got a chance to play it.
It's just Tekken 5 with tweaks, and Tekken 5 I thought was a spectacular game. I'm no good at it, but it's fun. And they fixed some gameplay balance issues. Nina is no longer super cheap. You can no longer spam one move and defeat about half of the players. All the good players know what to do about it, but you know, Steve isn't overly good anymore. Just balance that out a bit more. It's the sort of thing I like to see.
Well, it sounds good for Tekken fans, and that you can keep an eye on that on the PS3's little online download marketplace thing.
What, eBay?
Yeah.
Somebody was saying, I think it was on Video Game News Radio, or Metaspective, I guess they're calling it now. They said that Sony should have just done an eBay release, because that's all that happened anyway.
eBay exclusive?
Yeah. Just, you know, don't worry about lining up in front of stores. Just get it on eBay.
They might think about adopting that strategy for the PS4. Of course, the PS4, as Sony has hinted, is going to be like plugged directly into your brain. And
oh, really? I heard a hint that the PS4 was not going to happen.
Well, it undoubtedly, unless Sony somehow like tanks, there will be another system after the PS3.
There was something about they hired some, like they got rid of some guy, and they said that they're trying to focus away from the game systems. And then they took Ken Kutaragi and made him CEO of their entertainment division.
Yeah, a lot of promotions and rearrangings of the corporate hierarchy over at Sony.
Crayon eating officer, according to Orange Lounge Radio.
Kutaragi is he's moving on up, and I don't know if he's moving on up because he failed at what he was doing, or if he's moving on up because they deem a success for.
Well, actually, didn't he? Wasn't he instrumental in launching the first PlayStation or something like
that?
He did a really, really good job with it. So they said, oh, okay, stop doing PR, stop talking, just, you know, do internal business stuff. You're good at that.
Yes.
None of this, the PlayStation 3 will create giant enemy crabs.
Yeah, and we'll, like, play in the fourth dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The PS2 is going to be like The Matrix. No, that was a lie. You are a liar.
But now, now he's rich as heck, because he got promoted.
I, you again. Know, I guess it's a promotion. It's kind of like going sideways.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
I don't know much about how Sony works.
Well, a lot of their executive staff got, like, Kaz Hirai got moved to a new position now, and many different things.
They should just make a PlayStation 5. Just skip 4. Winamp did it. It was fine. Everyone likes Winamp, right? Just do the Fibonacci numbers.
Oh, that would be cool, the Fibonacci numbers. But then, of course, they would have to release, like, another PlayStation 1.
Well, you add two Fibonacci numbers together to get the next number in the Fibonacci sequence, right? Well, that whole thing they were spewing about the cell processor being able to tie in with other cell processors and create, you know, better games. So if your TV had one, your PlayStation had 4 or whatever it was, there you go. They could make that not a giant lie.
I don't even know that if my TV had 4 cell processors, I'd be afraid that it would start, like, biologically replicating or something. I mean, that is a lot of power.
A bunch of little 12-inch TVs running around.
Yeah, it might become, like, a new separate organism.
Like Spore.
Like Spore. And I cannot wait for Spore.
They had Will Wright on the Colbert Report last
night. Yes, Will. I was just about to say that. Will Wright was on the Colbert Report. I didn't get a chance to see it, though. Did you?
I saw a little bit of it.
Was it good? Did he make his presence felt? Did he say procedural?
He actually didn't say procedural that I caught. Of course, I missed half of it because I was in the restroom. But
you know, Colbert has been doing a lot of gaming-related things recently. He had the Wii on his show, I think, last week or a couple weeks ago. Almost every time I've seen the Colbert Report, there's always something video game-related on there, and which is interesting because it's like a political talk show. Not really.
He said that some of the people on his staff, his writers, had what he described as a nerd-rection. And I know I can say that on the air because he said it on TV.
Steve Colbert. I wouldn't go that far all the time, but yes, that's all right.
That is a quote. He said it last time.
I don't mind. Hey, Colbert was quoted as saying they have nerd-rections. That's all right with me.
So, you know, it's interesting. The Wii, you said he had it on that show?
Yeah.
I forget if I mentioned this last week. My parents knew about the Wii. They knew what it was. They knew how the controller worked because they had heard about it on NPR. That's publicism that games don't normally get.
Is this the same NPR that has a podcast that's the same name as ours?
Yeah, except it was not the video game show. It was some generalized talk show, and they had Miyamoto or someone translating on there talking about it.
Interesting.
My dad comes home, hey, have you heard about this Wii thing? I'm like, yes, I have.
Yeah, they've taken a more – Nintendo's, you know, going after this whole non-gamer demographic and turn them into gamers, and they're really like – they're doing a good job marketing in areas where publicity reaches an audience of traditionally non-gamers, like NPR. When you think about people who listen to NPR, you know, you don't think, oh, people who play video games. So – and the Colbert Report, and they're doing a lot of good stuff. I believe they're advertising also in magazines that aren't gaming magazines as well.
They've got that figured out.
We'll see. We'll see if that succeeds. And I do want to get into a discussion with you about the Nintendo Wii again, because since its launch, I've come to form certain views on how it's doing and how it may do based on what games came out with it. So we'll get to that a little later in the show.
Okay.
I have some ideas about that. Anyways, let's continue on with the news. And the next bit is Hitman. You're familiar with the Hitman games.
You know, I've never played them, but I know of them. And I have a friend who just loves them.
Yeah, they're pretty popular games. They sell really well. There's a movie going to be made. A Hitman movie. Vin Diesel was originally scheduled to play Agent 47,
who's the
main character in the Hitman games. Unfortunately, he got the axe, and they've got a new actor going to be playing Agent 47, and that is Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, but Vin Diesel's going to have an axe in this movie.
Well, no, they didn't actually give him, like, a physical axe. Oh. They said, you're not on the movie anymore.
That's too bad.
The proverbial axe.
My bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad. That would have been awesome. Agent 47 versus Vin Diesel with an axe.
Though I don't doubt that perhaps there might be an execution, if you will, in the movie somewhere. So, but
they might have one accidentally. Well, what could you ask for? All right, I'll chop this out. I'm done.
Okay, good. Yeah, let's do that. I will mute you. I will turn you off. No more.
Oh, that will be punishment.
Okay. I was going to say I'd cut you off, but, you know, that wouldn't help anything. So Timothy Oliphant, who is, you may know from that show Deadwood on HBO, he's going to be playing Agent 47, and Skip Woods is going to be doing the strip the strip. The script! Hopefully he's not doing the strip.
This movie's going to be great if we do it the way we're describing it.
Make the writer strip, give Vin Diesel an axe. It's all good. No, I didn't mean strip. I meant script, okay? Skip Woods did the script for Swordfish, that movie back in 2001.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember Swordfish.
I do.
Yeah, wasn't that good? So, we will see what happens to the Hitman movie. It's currently in production, I believe, and it will be in theaters late next year. Oh, you got a fan here, Dave. Look
Do
at
I?
This. Yes. Oh my God, Dave is awesome. Is one of our little messages we got here. And if you want to send us something, you know, it's appropriate for the air. We'll read it. If you got something to say to one of us, go ahead and send an email. Press start kcpr@gmail.com because. Dave, you have some fans.
Someone's a fan of puns.
Yeah, I guess.
Normally I get smacked when that happens.
Oh, believe me, there will be much smacking.
I have a friend who used to clobber me with pillows whenever I said something like that.
I don't have any pillows, but I do have some pretty sharp objects here.
Like an axe?
Well, like pens, and I have a computer speaker, which is pretty blunt.
I'll be impressed when you bring an axe.
Okay, next week. Next week I will bring an axe to the show. And news, yes?
News,
okay. Today's goofy, isn't it? Today's just like
it's the end of the quarter.
Yes,
I want it to be over.
Yeah, there's
I'm
a lot
in
of
my stupid mode.
A lot of stress going around. I'm trying to take the edge off a little bit. I'm trying to blunt the axe, as it were. Halo 3. You may have seen the commercial on Monday Night Football this week. 60-second teaser ad for Halo 3. No gameplay, unfortunately. But
I did not see that.
A prelude of things to come, perhaps, because there were some new features hinted at in the game, such as in the commercial, Master Chief pulls out a grenade, throws it at the ground at his feet, but instead of exploding, it forms a big energy shield around him. So, may be working its way into Halo 3, perhaps.
I question the wisdom of Master Chief trying to protect himself with a grenade. Not really my first choice for a protective barrier.
You know,
but,
Master,
you know
Master
he's
Chief,
the Master Chief and I'm not.
Master Chief does a lot of things that you'd question, like, oh, I don't know, jumping into space with a bomb that's about to blow up. How about that? How about, what else did he do? How about having a conversation with a giant plant creature in the bottom of a lake? That was kind of
that's true. Well, and, you know, taking on entire armies on his own, yeah.
Yeah, and attacking a Covenant, like, general dude. I forget what they're called. I haven't played in a while. You know, that was a little crazy. I don't know. Master Chief, yeah, little
maybe he's trying to trick the Covenant into hiding behind their own grenades.
Could be.
That would be a great
show and
move.
Tell.
Everybody just explodes all at once.
Needless to say, the commercial was pretty awesome, and you can check it out, gamesarefun.com. It's right there on the front page, or I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, or, I mean, it's probably all over the place by now. But the story here is that the Halo 3 multiplayer beta is open. You can try and sign up for it. And if you're interested in doing that, here are the criteria that you need to meet. First of all, you need to go over to Halo3.com to register. You need to have an Xbox 360 Pro console, which has the hard drive in it.
Is that different than the premium pack?
That is the premium pack.
Okay.
The premium Pro.
So say, Xbox 360 Pro console. Huh.
Yeah.
Now they have different versions of consoles, like they've rumored to have the one with HDMI ports coming out, or there's the rumor of the new Wii that has the DVD playback capability, because they signed that thing with Sonic or whoever it was for software DVD playback. It's like, no, are you punishing early adopters? Anyway, tangent, but...
Yeah, I didn't mean
glad to hear
imply.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's what's written on the site.
Yes.
That's
The Xbox 360 not core system.
Okay.
Yeah, the
so you need a hard drive, basically.
Yes, you need a hard drive. You need to also have a valid Xbox Live Gold subscription. You also need to have a Microsoft Net Passport account, and you have to have it linked to your Xbox Live gamer tag. And you need to be 17 years or older and live in the U.S. or Canada. So if you can meet all of those criteria, you can register for the Halo 3 multiplayer beta, which starts in spring of 2007. And what that means is you'll get to play the game before anyone else, testing, helping the developers look for bugs, problems, balance issues, things like that.
I meet those criteria.
I expect.
You gotta sign up.
Yeah, Halo3.com. If you're interested in checking out Halo 3 before it is out, give it a try. And if you have any questions about that, go ahead and send us an email and I can get back to you about what you need to do.
Or just play Gears of War because you have a fair idea of how the bar is going to be set now.
Yes. And, you know, I fully intend on returning from Christmas break this year with an Xbox 360.
Oh, cool.
So we will see what happens.
But all right.
That will open up a whole new world of possibilities. And finally, well, not finally, but almost finally, the Nintendo Wii launched in Japan December 1st. And, of course, oh, 400,000 units available, 400,000 units sold. The Japanese love Nintendo, and, of course, they love the Wii. So, you can check out some photos, gamesarefun.com. In fact, there's even a picture of a guy who dressed up as a Wiimote.
Do they have a nunchuck attached to him?
Maybe under the costume. But, so, lots of units sold, and it's looking like that Nintendo's expecting 600,000 more Wii units into Japan by the end of the year.
I'm still amazed we got that before they did.
Yeah, I am too.
I don't know how that works.
Of course, I didn't get it before they did because Nintendo decided not to ship the full number of units they promised to to North America.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, and how about Circuit City over the weekend, huh? Thanks for tipping me off about that.
Oh, yeah?
What was up with that?
I don't entirely know. I went in and we've been looking for nunchucks and Wiimotes. We want them.
Yes, because you only have one, right?
We only get one with the system, and I managed to get an extra Wiimote. I got the last one at Circuit City on the first launch day.
Okay, and so, again, because you want to play multiplayer.
Right.
Yes.
We wanted to play Wii Sports, basically.
Okay.
And originally, we kind of wanted to play Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz, but we didn't like that one so much. So I got in. I asked if they had some Wiimotes and nunchucks. They went into the back. This was, gosh, when was this? Saturday? Maybe Friday. I think it was Saturday. And they said, oh, yeah, here you go. We have a whole bunch in the back. So we marched up to the front with our brand new Wiimote and nunchuck and two nunchucks. And they said, oh, the system won't let us sell them to you. Huh. Very nice guy at the front counter who went around and haggled and argued with the managers for a little while. And apparently, you're not allowed to buy those things unless you buy a console with them. And the consoles didn't come out until the next day.
So to get this straight, it means someone who already owns a Wii, who wants to play with their friend, who wants to buy another Wiimote, had to buy another Nintendo Wii to get it.
That's what they told me. And that, it was, you know, it was, it's one thing when they say, yeah, we're not selling any of these until tomorrow. It's obnoxious. It's annoying, especially if you're already in the store. I'm of the belief that you should cater to the people in the store first. That's something that I've always heard, and were I to run a business, I think would be the case. But they, having it in my hand at the check stand and then being told I'm not allowed to buy it, it was a really, you know, the guy at the front was very nice, but I just got this sense that they really just don't care, and they don't care enough about my business to want to keep me coming back. They didn't offer to put one on reserve or anything like that. You know, it's
same kind of thing I ranted about last week. It's like strange business practices. It's getting one of these systems is like pulling my own teeth out with needle-nose pliers, yeah, or something. It's
like I see why they're doing it. I see where the profit margin comes in from trying to get everybody in on Sunday. It's just, man, you know, don't, if you're going to have them in the back, put some big signs or something. Make sure your employees aren't handing them out to people,
yeah,
who then are being told they can't have them.
Yeah. I just don't understand. It's like everyone in the world is trying to make it as hard as possible for customers to get Wii-related items, to buy them. Stop it! Let us buy what we want to buy. This is a capitalist society. I give you money, you give me what I want. Now give me what I want so I can give you my money.
Yeah. At the very least, they could just, you know, if they're going to, I mean, there's no way to stop them from doing things like that. But if they're going to do it, it'd be nice to have it, you know, communicated properly to the consumer. None of this, oh, we don't have it. Oh, really? I know a guy who says you do.
Completely,
you know, or,
agreed.
Yeah, we do have it, but we can't sell it to you. That should be clear. That should be as clear and as obvious as the people who stand at the front entrance and accost you for cell phone offers. There is no way to escape them. They're losing more business off of that, I think, than anything else.
I try not to make eye contact and just kind of walk by.
I just say, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to take a picture of them with my cell phone next time.
Here is what is attracting me towards the Xbox 360 this holiday season as opposed to the Wii. Yes, I can buy one. Exactly. I walk into Best Buy. There's a pyramid of Xbox 360 systems, literally a pyramid that they built out of the boxes. I go to the Wii section. There's nothing there. Which am I more inclined to buy?
Well, you know, at this same time last year, that was the same situation with the Xbox 360 in the can't find it category.
Yeah, but to be fair, that was the only next-gen system out. If I have a choice, I mean, now all three are out. If I have a choice, I would probably personally get the Wii.
Oh, man, at the time, the choice was between the 360 or the PS2 with Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
A lot of people chose that.
The Guitar Hero.
Well, the PS3 was $130, the Guitar Hero was $70, so it was $200. So now you have the next-gen system versus the roughly $200 system, just like the 360.
And it was more widely available, the Guitar Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah. It just goes to show you, people are going to buy what they can get their hands on. If they have an interest in both, they're going to buy what they want, what is available. Not, you know, mm-hmm. I'm tired of calling, of going to stores, of asking people, of asking when they're going to get more. I'm done. I'm fed up. So Nintendo, next time you want to sell me something, produce enough to meet demand. Stores, next time you want me to buy something from you, have them available for the customer. I am done with looking for a Nintendo Wii until there is something that comes out that I desperately want for it that will make me buy the system.
You could just wait a few months. So yeah, the 360 worked out fine.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to because I'm tired of this. So there are some issues with the Wii that I would like to bring up. Of course, as I said, one final news story, and this one is quite interesting. South Carolina, a child, a 12-year-old child.
Oh, this can't be good when it starts off like that.
Yeah, 12-year-old child opens one of his Christmas presents early. Way early, because
okay.
We're still at the beginning of December here.
Now you have my attention.
All right, opens one of his Christmas presents early. Lo and behold, it's a Game Boy Advance, okay? Mother is extremely angry because she told him, you can't open this. You can't open this till Christmas, all right? Child obviously opens it before Christmas. Mother calls the police.
What?
Okay, police get called. And, you know, you would think, why would the police respond to that? That's what, like, a home issue, you know?
I was going to say, there's got to be some other condition here.
Yes. Okay, well, the police have arrested the child on petty larceny.
Is it larceny if you steal from your parents?
Apparently.
I guess that is technically stealing from your parents.
Apparently, and, apparently, he's not quite the best child. He's not quite on Santa's good list. And so the mom's been having some trouble with him.
I get it. Santa's a cop.
12-year-old kid arrested for petty larceny for opening a Christmas present early. The one thing here, the mother is 27 years old. So you do the math there. That means she was a mother at 15. So,
dang.
Not quite the best of situations there, but, you know, what can you do?
Well, they've arrested the kid before, you said?
No, this is his first arrest.
Okay.
So, yeah, he did get arrested. Quite the story. And, of course, it was a Game Boy Advance. Hopefully the Game Boy Advance SP. I can't imagine that people are still buying the normal Game Boy Advance systems.
I don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah.
I mean, the old ones can be found for $20, which is a pretty good deal if you have light in your house. Like a lot of it.
I frankly am of the opinion that to use the very first generation Game Boy Advances, you don't need a light in your house so much as you need a star.
Yeah, you need a miniature sun.
You need a miniature.
You should take a DS light and hover it over the old GBA so that you can see the screen with the immense amounts of light that thing puts out.
So not exactly a happy Christmas story there, but, you know, who knows? The mother, she was quoted as saying, I'm trying to get him some kind of help. He's the type of kid who doesn't believe anything until it happens. So, surprise, she said that she hopes that the arrest will put a stop to his errant ways.
Why doesn't she just fill the box with something like...
Pepper spray?
pepper spray. I was going to say nothing.
How about a boxing glove on a spring?
Yeah. How old did you say this kid was?
12.
Oh, that's probably a bit too old to empty all the Christmas boxes and say, well, if you open them early, there's no present inside. And then the night before Christmas, you know, you fill all the boxes back up after the kid's gone to sleep. Man, I can't wait to have kids. This is going to be great.
Are you going to experiment?
I'm gonna
do social experiments on them? Experiment, children. All right. Bottom of the hour, 10:30 as it stands. Hopefully you'll stick around. We'll be here till 11. As I mentioned, we got the review of the Sandio Technology Gamo 3D Mouse. And I see you are got your notes here, everything. Yep. You have a lot to say about this.
Got a Jets and Guns review for you, too.
And Jets and Guns. That's going to be good. Idra Union review coming up, and also a discussion on the Nintendo Wii and its future. So stick around. This is Press Start, your weekly look at games and the video game industry, as brought to you by these two Cal Poly students, Dave Hampton, Justin Ficino, here with you.
Those are us.
Yes, those were us. That was a Lufia remix by, I always can never pronounce this, Durangin, Durangin, Durangin.
Oh.
I don't know.
I'd say Durangin.
Durangin. Could be it.
It's kind of an 80s feel to it.
Yeah. He's a remixer. It's called, or it's a Lufia 1, actually, remix called Metastatic Bloodline.
That sounds familiar. Have you played that before?
I probably have, yes.
I never did play Lufia. I hear it's very good.
Yeah, it's old school, definitely. But in any case, let's talk about the Sandio Technology Game-O 3D mouse.
So is that what they call it? The Game-O?
The Game-O, 3D Game-O.
I didn't even look at the name of it.
Yeah,
I just saw Sandio.
That's the company who makes it. San Jose-based company, brand new product they've got out. Well, it's not out yet.
I don't think it's out yet.
Yes.
I got to play with pre-release hardware. That was cool.
But it is called the 3D Game-O, I believe.
3D Game-O mouse. Okay. So the this mouse is... Well, if you've ever played with SciTech joysticks, you have a fairly good idea what it's like to have a hojillion functions at your fingertips. And that's pretty much what this mouse is trying to do. What it is a laser mouse with... You know, two buttons as you'd expect, one scroll wheel, also clickable, just like others, and then three hat switches, one for your thumb, one on the top of the mouse between the two buttons, and one on the right. So imagine, if you will, take your hand, stick it on the table, take your thumb and ring finger as if you're grasping the mouse together, and those are where two hat switches are. Then take your either index or middle finger and put that on top of your virtual mouse in front of you.
Usually where the scroll wheel is.
Just above where scroll wheels normally are, above being forwards in this case. So that's how you hold this mouse. The idea is that most first-person shooters, you have, you know, four back, left, right, a few standard extra functions, a couple of mouse buttons. That's all you need. So for something like Unreal, you can assign the movement controls to these hat switches, and then you can... You know, play your entire game with one hand, freeing your other hand up to do whatever it is you do with another hand. You can play another game on another computer, I suppose, or something else of your own choosing. So, well, I'm here to tell you that doesn't work at all. The first person shooter, the whole thing where you take all of the controls and put them on one mouse, doesn't work.
Doesn't it work?
Well,
I found when I played it on Unreal Tournament 2004, I found that after I got used to it, it worked.
How long did it take you to get used to it?
I probably spent 30 minutes playing around with it.
It's about how long I spent playing with it. With Unreal, anyway.
Okay.
So I tried this with three pieces of software. They had a built-in 3D cube simulator that, you know, lets you drag and move the cube in their supposed 6 degrees of freedom. I played Unreal Tournament. I played Monster Truck Madness 2, and I'll talk about those out of order. The mouse has two modes on it. Each of these hat switches, which I should mention are four-way switches, so no diagonals. There's a dead zone in between each of the, between up and left. If you hit up and left, you get nothing, which is actually good in some cases and bad in others. I'll say generally good in this case. You can assign each position on the hat switch to a keyboard stroke, or you can assign one of them, or you can let it go into its 3D mode. The way that works... To put your virtual hand out again. The top.
Can I put my real hand out too?
Well, sure. Virtual mouse. So get an idea of how this works. Say your middle finger's on the top hat switch. If you push it forward, the cube tilts backwards. Or I'm sorry. It tells it 3D tilt backwards. In this cube program that they have, it tilts the cube backwards. The whole idea is 6 degrees of freedom, X, Y, Z, and then yaw, pitch, and roll can be represented as transformations on a cube, and so it's a really good way to demonstrate how the mouse works. So you tilt the top hat switch forward and back, and it tilts the cube forward and back. Pushing the hat switch left and right moves, so no rotation, left and right on the screen. Then the side hat switches act in tandem. You have to push two of them at once to get any meaningful motion.
For a certain function, because you can use them one at a time, I believe, to zoom in and out, correct?
Yeah, if you use them one at a time, you get translational movement, which I think they should take out because it actually creates a problem. But the problem is if you're trying to do rotation, you have to use two at once. It's like tank controls. Both forward is forward, both back is back.
One left and one right is
one left
turning.
And one right rotates, but you've got that in two dimensions now. So if you tilt it along a different axis, you can now rotate along, you know, X, Y, Y, Z, YX. You have all of these options now at your disposal. The problem with this is if you want to just start rotating, if you click just one, it already starts translating. So you get translation, then rotation later. It's really hard to just start rotating immediately.
You've got to do it exactly at the same time. You have
right.
to do you if you want rotation, you've got to hit one hat switch forward and one backwards to exactly at the precise moment. Otherwise, you get a couple frames of translational movement.
Oh, a lot more frames when I was doing it. And this gets into the next problem I had. The ring finger and the pinky finger don't play nearly as nicely as my thumb does with those hat switches. So my thumb pretty well universally will move before the other fingers will, which was kind of confusing and a little weird to work with. But, you know, the cube showed that everything worked just fine. It's a neat, innovative control scheme. The 6 degrees of freedom they talk about do exist. However, they are digital. It is not an analog thing. It's either rotating or not, moving or not. There's no, you know... You can move the mouse around in space like the Wiimote and it'll read its position there. And actually, technically, it's 8 degrees of freedom if you count the mouse axes. So that's cool. But the 6 degree freedom thing they're talking about is entirely digital. So be warned there. So like I said, an Unreal tournament going WASD. Originally, I didn't like their setup. It's the thumb hat goes forward and back, and then crouches and jumps, and the top hat switch with the middle finger. And I have to hesitate because I'm thinking spatially about where this all is. Lets you strafe left and right, and then use the mouse for mouse look. So it's like WASD controllers.
Right.
You have to spread these across two hat switches because otherwise, there's no way to press forward and strafe at the same time. And it took a little getting used to left brain right brain conflict and. It was. I couldn't beat the first guy on the basic difficulty setting in Unreal Tournament, even after playing with it for half an hour.
Yeah, no, I got that too. Where you have to suddenly, you know, you're used to hitting like W and A to straight, like, you know, strafe
right.
Move left kind of. And when you're doing this all in one mouse, you've got your thumb going forward and your middle finger going left, and it's just like a weird movement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of equated after I played the Wii. I kind of equated that to my experience with the mouse. You've got to sort of relearn all of the basic mechanics mm-hmm. that you're so used to when using, like, a mouse or, in the case of the Wii, playing video games. So it's like once you can wrap your brain around it, once you sort of get used to it and you start associating these movements with your fingers with what they do, it's a little bit better.
Well, see, here's – I still suggest it's not better. And I'll keep following into that with Unreal Tournament. I'll briefly mention I played Monster Truck Madness with it. Which was fun just to see how many different functions I could assign to the switches, but really, a proper analog controller worked a lot better. Still fun, though. Unreal Tournament is where everything started becoming obvious. Like, why should we be reinventing how games play? With the Wii, that's cool, because you have games written for a new control scheme. Not so with this new mouse. You know, why shouldn't we use WASD?
I don't think it's necessarily why shouldn't we. I think it's just giving you another alternative.
See, it's an alternative that I found frustrating and obnoxious, and I would never use. I went back to WASD controls with this thing and said, well, you know, gosh, I wouldn't want the mouse if that was all I could do with it was this new control scheme. So I said, oh, okay. Clearly, this is idiotic. Let's go mess with their software for a little bit. So I loaded up their keyboard mapper program, and I took all the hat switch positions, of which there are 12. I took the first 10 of them and assigned them the numbers 1 through 10 and then played the game WASD as normal. So now, here's what I have. I have my keyboard in one hand, my mouse in the other hand. A traditional first-person shooter setup sort of thing. Pretty much everybody knows, at least at some level, some people know very well and aren't willing to go away from. When you switch weapons in Unreal Tournament, how do you do it?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I'm going to assume it's pressing one of the number keys?
Yeah. What happens to your left hand when you do that?
Takes it off the movement.
It's off the movement keys. What happens when you do it on the mouse? Because you can do it with a scroll wheel. You can't choose which
you
one you want.
You have to go through
everything.
You
have to scroll through each one. So this is where this mouse rules is. So I'm running around with the double pistols, and all of a sudden I realize that the guy's running in, and he's in a corridor. Now I want the rocket launcher. Well, instead of scrolling all the way across to get the rocket launcher, or counting the number of strokes on my scroll wheel, which I usually miss, or taking my hand off the movement keys, I just flicked the hat switch. All of a sudden, I had my rocket launcher. Guy was dead. Wonderful.
And I'm thinking, instantaneous.
Ah, that's why this mouse is cool. The other reason that's important is when you move a mouse around in a first-person shooter, you get very precise control. The way you do this, and I bet you don't even know you're doing it, is you stick your wrist down on the mouse pad and use that to fine-tune your position. Now you have a very small amount of movement. You're not moving your whole arm. When you want to walk, like when you're constantly using these hat switches, you have to pick your arm up to reach them. They give you a little wrist rest that rests on the back of the mouse. You can do that, but now you're moving the mouse with your whole arm. It makes the hat switches easier, makes fine-tuned aiming a lot harder. Take the wrist rest off, hold the mouse normally, use the hat switches occasionally for weapon changing. Beautiful.
This is how it works better.
Thumbs way up when you use it that way.
So if you take off the little wrist guard pad thing that comes mm-hmm. clipped to it, it works better.
Now that wrist guard would be cool in a game like a turn-based strategy game where it doesn't really matter how fast you do things. Then it'd be great because you have all these functions. You don't have to worry about the keyboard shortcuts. You can drink a Coke or pet your cat with one hand. My roommate's cat came in and sat on my lap when I was trying this, so I was scratching his head with one hand.
Zerg rushing with the right hand, petting the cat on the left hand. Okay.
So where I think this would be great is in a game like Free Space or Mech Warrior, where you have your joystick and some functions on your keyboard, and you want more things in your right hand to mess with, and you're controlling it with the mouse. That's where this mouse is really going to shine. I haven't tried this, but I'd like to try it out with MechWarrior 4, Descent Free Space, and Photoshop, actually. I think it would work really well for that. So, thumbs way up for that when you figure out how to use it.
And using it in specific ways. Now, to be fair, you haven't used it in a real-time strategy game.
I have not.
You haven't used it in, what other types of genres for the PC are there? MMO? You haven't tried an MMO yet.
MMO is a lot like a third-person action or RTS game, so I'd suggest the control will be similar. But, you know, that if you remap the buttons, say you're playing WoW, you remap your favorite spells to these hat switches, that'll do you well.
Yeah. So we haven't experienced those genres yet, and hopefully we can sort of do a progressive review on this where we get some experience with each of these genres.
Oh, I fully intend to keep coming back and talking about this one as I try out more stuff with it.
Okay. So we have first-person shooter, good for some aspects of the first-person shooter, not so good for others. How about Monster Truck Madness?
That game didn't take mouse input, so I just mapped all the hat switches as turn left, right, accelerate, brake, go yeehaw, or play La Cucaracha on the horn. I just mapped all the functions on there, and basically it was just a one-handed digital controller. And it worked. Okay. But yeah, so this is great as a programmable device. It's the way that they were advertising it as a one-handed controller freeing up your other hand.
Debatable.
I just don't see it being as effective as using the traditional setups. I don't think that's the drive for it, or I don't think that's the reason anybody would want to play it. So
the preliminary verdict on this piece of hardware is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were going to follow that up.
No, I'm asking you.
This is great. It is a good device. It's one I would buy for myself. Now, I love controllers. I love having a million functions. And so this suits that very well.
Yeah, and you're also the fine person who makes their own joysticks and you understand controller inputs and stuff.
But you know the problem with that is that doesn't work in first-person shooters because I'm using a keyboard anyway, so any new controller I plug into it, I have to take my hand off of something, keyboard or mouse, to do it. This is the first device I've played with that does not have that requirement. And I'm discounting things like those little half-keyboard gamepads you have that are keyboards with the keys rearranged, because those are basically keyboards anyway.
So the preliminary verdict, recommended?
I would recommend this mouse. I don't know how much it's going for, but I'd say anywhere in the range of 50 to 60 is probably fair for it, considering what it does. And it does have 2,000 dots per inch, so if that's important to you, you have that. Strangely, the drivers they had, I think, are pre-release, and they make a noise whenever you plug the mouse in. They also engage themselves by making a noise out the PC speaker, which I thought was strange because you can't turn that down. And I'm in Windows, and I haven't heard that thing used in years.
Can you maybe customize the sounds to say something like, "Hello, Dave, welcome"?
I'm sure if you found them, you could.
Yeah.
These drivers looked pretty rough and pretty, you know, development level stuff, so I don't think they're finalized. So I'm not going to consider that as part of the review.
Of course. I was a joke anyway.
That's okay. I will mention that when I plug this mouse in, my PlayStation controller that I have connected through a USB adapter is no longer recognized by games. When I disconnect the mouse, it's fine. I don't know why that is, but I feel it bears mentioning.
So there you go. That is the much lauded review of the Game of 3D Mass, and we will come back to this time and again throughout the year as we sort of get new experiences with this mouse.
I have a few ideas. So that went on for a while. Sorry about that.
No problem. It's quite in-depth, and it's good because I have a Mac, so I can't really do much with the mouse. Cause
it does mount as a normal controller on the Mac.
And yes,
if you have
it does.
Controller Mate, you can read the hat switches, sort of. I haven't quite figured out how it works, so I'll reserve judgment on that.
All right. So that's that, and we've got, well, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes left in the show, so we will take one last music break, and when we come back, I will review Yggdrasil Union, and we'll have you review Jets and Guns.
I'm thinking let's do that in the post-show, because we're probably going to run out of time.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Okay, we'll see. We'll take it as we see it.
Once again, remember to the people listening online, if you are listening via download, not online at kcpr.org, but via the podcast, the post-show will be coming up right after the broadcast, so stick around for that. In the meantime, Machina Supremacy, and this is from Jets and Guns.
This is from level 5.
Of Jets and Guns.
I was very amazed to see this song. I heard it was instrumental. This one actually is the full original release by the band who did it.
And it's called Hero.
Hero by Machina Supremacy.
To meet me.
Machina Supremacy hero from Jets and Guns, that cool little PC shooting game.
I like that game.
Yeah. So I know you like that game, but why should say someone else like that game?
Well, this game reminds me, if nothing else, of Phoenix on the TI-89. Did you guys ever play that?
Wow.
the old top-down shooter game. This is a side-scrolling shooter game, but the core gameplay is basically the same. You fly around shooting stuff, try not to get hit by stuff. You buy upgrades, and you get better, at shooting stuff to earn more money to buy more upgrades. It's a very fun little game. I have to say, it's hard. It's way harder than I thought it was. And the reason for this, I put this out to the Machine of Supremacy forums because they did the music for the game, so everybody knows about it. And they said, yeah, the second level is the hardest level in the game. So,
is it as hard as like as Japanese side-scrolling shooters?
No, not on easy. On medium? See, it's weird. In the Japanese ones, there's usually an optimal route through the game based on, you know, whatever you have. In this game, they kind of just throw a bunch of stuff out there and you have a bunch of patterns and whatever equipment you have, you try to find the best route through that way. And if it doesn't work, try new equipment. There doesn't seem to be a best way other than I'm sure there's an optimal equipment path to go through. But it's a lot more – feels a lot more freeform. So it's fun to play. It's challenging if you want it to be. And the easy mode seems pretty straightforward. But yeah, after that second level, everything gets a lot easier. The third took me forever. And then after that, it was more or less smooth sailing. I had to try it a few times, but I've been able to get through everything. But this game is fun because it's – it doesn't care about reality too much, so all the story is, you know, completely out there and very, very European.
And there's also jets and guns.
Yeah,
together.
It's a space game, but the ships all look like jets. They're all kind of like exaggerated World War II craft. And so, you know, you mount guns all over them. There's three mounts in the front, one in the back. There's a missile pod and a bomb pod you can equip stuff into. And then there's a rotary cage so you can rotate a gun on its own. Just a lot of stuff thrown in there that's fun to play with. And everything explodes, and everything has particles everywhere. It's a very pretty game. A lot of fun to play. And I really like the music, I have to say.
Is it all – that was a sample that we just played? Machine
yeah, and that was also one of their releases where they had the vocals and everything. The rest of the game is done a little bit more electronica, less rock. But, I mean, everything features the synth and the guitar, and it's all – you know, that band style. So if you like them, and I do, then you'll end up, you'll probably enjoy it quite a lot. My roommate came in and said, whoa, this sounds great. Can I get the soundtrack? I was like, why, yes, it's up on their site.
And so, the site for the game, I know it's PC. There's a trial version you can download.
Yeah, it's PC and Mac. If you have, you know, if you've bothered doing Soul with the later operating systems, it's rakeingrass.com. Like a rake that you step in that smacks you up in the face.
R-A-K-E.
Yeah.
R-A-K-E. Key. I don't even know what that means.
R-A-K-E-I-N-G-R-A-S-S.com.
Yes.
And I think it's, what is it, Croatian or something like that? It's some, I forget where. It's a game from somewhere.
In Europe.
Somewhere in Europe done by with music by a Swedish metal band all written in English. Interesting game. And they're very nice of you. They give you, you know, tool tips per level and they tell you, we've played this a bunch of times and here's what we found works. A lot of fun. It's $20 to download it, or $25 to download it, and then they'll send you a CD.
Very cool. Called Jets and Guns, rakeingrass.com, and we will post up the link on the website, pressstart.thefighting.org, so that you can, without hassle, get there and check out Jets and Guns.
And that's my little review. If you have any questions, send me an email.
Yes. The email, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. Always open, once again, if you want to say something, ask something, tell us something. If you have another axe joke, we would love to hear more axe jokes. We didn't get enough in today, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're not as sharp as we usually are.
Yeah. So, thanks for listening today. We'll be back next week, finals week, but we will. Well, I'll be here. I don't know if you've got.
I should be here.
Okay. Hopefully, we'll both be here. But if all else fails, I will be here. We'll be talking. We'll have to save our Wii discussion. And it's okay because that discussion will mature very nicely. Like a fine wine, the longer you leave it, the more it will sort of taste. The better it will taste.
The more it will taste.
The more it will taste. It will taste more as a characteristic, as a quality of taste.
I can think of several things that taste more when you leave them out for a while.
That will be next week. And the Igdre Union review will be out. I will have it next week.
Okay. So sorry we ran out of time.
Yeah, we just didn't get around to it. So it's all right. Hopefully you check out, if you want to check out the 3D mouse, it's sandiotech.com. And Jets and Guns, of course, is rakeingrass.com. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week at 10 a.m. Wednesday morning. Don't forget to check out the podcast, pressstart.thefighting.org. And coming up next for you people who downloaded the show is the post show. So stick around. He's Dave Hampton. I'm Justin Messino. Game over. Press Start Post Show is here on this December 6th, and that is the date today. I didn't remember what the date was today when I started the show, so I have found out through psychic mind powers and things. It is December 6th.
It really kind of is. The quarter is almost over. Like I said earlier, I'm in my stupid stage where I'm just doing dumb stuff all the time, so apologies if I'm being retarded.
19 days till Christmas.
Oh man, I can't even count anymore.
That's probably bad, because you're a math major.
I am. Oh, I couldn't remember this basic math term the other day. I realized, oh, I'm gone. I need to graduate and just get out before everyone realizes.
Hurry and graduate. Yeah, I'm excited about graduation, too. Come spring. I will start getting paid for having my time wasted by an organization instead of paying an organization to waste my time.
I have a week and a half before graduation, so I should be able to play a lot more games later on and should have a lot more fun stuff to say on this show. Hopefully any job I have will let me come on here.
Yeah, and just don't bring the job with you.
Oh, serious.
Yeah, they won't fit, just from a physical
standpoint. Oh, serious, yeah.
Standpoint.
We could have... Oh, maybe I could get a job at a place that has a recording studio.
That would be cool.
That would be neat.
In any case, sorry we didn't get to the Yggdra Union review. It's a good game, but that's all you need to know for right now. And the Wii discussion, which maybe it tantalized you, and now you're feeling a bit of blue balls, because you were turning on...
Raise your hand if this game or this show gave you blue balls.
Press Start, the only podcast that will give you blue balls. We run out of time, you know. We only have an hour, and you know.
Well, I went on forever with that mouse review too. So,
but it was a good mouse review.
Well, thank you.
It was in depth, and there's a lot you can do with hat switches. I think we could devote even an entire show to hat switches.
I've considered on a couple of occasions going through and doing a side show just talking about controller weirdness.
That is sort of your area of expertise.
It's my favorite area.
All right, so let me ask you this. You think we could hook up a Steel Battalion controller to another, like, interesting device, like a microwave?
Oh, yeah, actually. That would actually be really easy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I take that back. That would be hard without hacking the controller itself.
Oh. You couldn't, like, flip... Like, let's say, you know, the windshield wiper button could be, like, the pizza setting on the microwave, and then you hit it and...
Also, you know, this is actually a pretty good demonstration of how all controller hackery seems to work. If you... want a button somewhere else to be pressed by a button on, you know, your controller, you just go inside both of them and you attach a wire between the two. So the Steel Battalion controller has a 9-panel array on it. Well, you could just hook that up to the 1 through 9 keys on the microwave pretty easily. Just open the microwave, open the controller, and, you know, start plugging wires between. Make sure you don't have any shorts or, you know, weird grounding situations or anything like that. But you do have to open the controller up because that controller's USB inside. So you have the timing mechanisms and all to worry about.
Quite the wonderful controller. I wish there were more applications for it.
More than one.
More than one app, which is playing Steel Battalion.
Well, I need to get my adapter finished so that I can sit there and, you know, play Free Space with it. Or let my roommate do that, because I like my SciTech better.
What about hooking it up to your car? Like, drive your car like
a
mech?
Did you see the guy who did that?
No.
He actually didn't hook it up to the car, per se, but he took out the steering wheel of this car, threw a... a tarp over the windshield, had a projector inside, hooked up to an Xbox, and a Steel Battalion controller in front of him. So he built himself a cockpit out of this car. Apparently it was a lot of fun.
That is badass.
Somebody else did it with Gran Turismo, too.
That was my idea. I had a friend who was sort of disassembling his car because it had kicked the bucket.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, you should just saw the front end off, bring it in the living room, and, like, we'll mount up, like, you know, a PS2 to the TV, and we'll put it right where the windshield used to be, because it's like a 60-inch flat screen, and be like, yeah, you sit inside and you play Gran Turismo. Like,
and,
in real fun.
Well, this guy took it even one step further. Instead of just plugging in some driving wheel that works for the PlayStation, he took his real driving wheel and his real pedals and everything and hooked them up with appropriate resistances and then tapped into a PlayStation controller. So he's using his car's controls. I'm doing the steering wheel motion with my hands right now. You can't see it because you're in Radio Land, but, you know, he was doing that whole thing. I was quite jealous.
Very interesting. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff you can do with controllers. If you got any crazy controller stories, or better yet, pictures of controllers that you've devised, or...
Yeah, send us your sketches. I'll tell you if they'll work or not.
Or even actual photos as well. Like, if you've, made a controller.
Yeah, if you've actually built one, that's even better.
Yeah, or if you've sort of, like, tried to build one, and then it, like, didn't work, and it's sort of like a Frankenstein kind of thing.
Yeah.
Love to see those, too, and it would be good stuff for our website. So send us an email, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com.
Or even any cleverness you've done. People have found some neat stuff out with the Wiimotes. They've got them hugged to computers now. Somebody was playing Half-Life with it. They figured out that the sensor bar for the Wii can be approximated by two flashlights or just candles.
Or this one I heard, some guy, his Christmas tree lights were interfering with the signal for the Wiimote.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah, they would.
You know, maybe if you, like, put a Christmas tree lights around your TV and try to play the Wii, you'd get some crazy...
That's a really good idea.
Uh-oh. Experiment time.
I'm just going to hook two Christmas tree lights to either side of the TV and see what it does. So that I'm pointing dead center on the screen instead of down below it.
There you go.
We can't play it above it in my house because the cat will knock it off.
Oh. What if you, like, tape the cat to the TV?
That's a good idea. That cat peed all over my bed on Monday.
Oh, no.
Oh, that freaking cat.
Oh, man. That's disgusting.
I'm in favor of duct taping and this stuff.
That's horrible. So good thing it didn't pee on your Steel Battalion controller. That would have been the second foreign bodily fluid that would have ended up on that.
We're done here.
I'm a little afraid every time I go over to your house and, like, there's, like, Guitar Hero controllers and any sort of, like, non-regular controller, I'm afraid has maybe, like, been, you know, submerged in a liquid I don't want to touch.
Well, it's tough, too, because controllers are stuff people put their hands all over. So, I mean, controllers are always going to be full of grossness. Go into any arcade, that'll prove that thesis.
Yeah, that's true. There's something weird. I mean, arcades, like, there's something very, gross when the buttons are all, like, smooth and slippery.
Oh, it's
like,
gross. Wash your freaking hands after you go into an arcade.
Yes.
I know some of you out there don't, and I know who you are, and I know where you live.
I remember Afterburner, the arcade game, the one that would, like, tilt. Remember Afterburner?
Oh, yeah.
I remember there was an arcade near my house where the Afterburner stick was, like, the nastiest piece of,
gross.
Of stick that you've ever seen. It was just disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I want to see games come back like that, though, where they have the full enclosures that move. Like the F-Zero or AX game.
Yes.
That was cool.
Those were the best. I remember at Disneyland one time, I played one of those, like, flight simulator dogfighting games where you actually, like, they enclose you all the way inside of, like, this gyroscope, and when you turn, the thing flips upside down.
Cal Poly has a simulator not entirely unlike that.
Where? I want it.
It's in the Advanced Technology Labs out in aerospace.
Will they let me use it?
At Open House, sort of. Mm-hmm. The one that moves, the one that just, like, moves around in relation to the simulator, they're not letting people sit on yet because it's got some bugs. One of the bugs puts it to the, far upper left position or something like that at a speed of, I forget what the speed is, but if you had the instrument panel in front of you, there is a very real chance that you would hit yourself on the head and probably give yourself a concussion.
Wow.
So they don't let, just public people in there yet.
That's fun. But, So one of the bugs could kill you, then?
Hypothetically, it's actually possible.
So they've got to work out the death machine part of that and eliminate
it. Oh, but this thing is crazy. It's got hydraulic lifts on it. It's a sight to see. They have some great videos of it.
Well, I might have to go check that out anyway, in any case.
Cal Poly Open House, they show it off every year. They have a great one where they're trying to... It's a hollowed out, what looks like an F4 cockpit hooked up to X-Plane, if you guys have played that. There's a guy trying to get free space working on it.
That's cool.
Thing is a kick.
Technology rules.
I like technology. That's why I'm here on this show.
Of course. That's the post show. We'll be back next week. He's Dave. I'm good.
You guys all rule.